The other day I had a dangerous thought. Why can't we, with just one reception of the Eucharist, empty purgatory? After all, the Eucharist is God. It is infinite. It is infinitely powerful. Are we doing something wrong? Is the Mass not being celebrated well enough? There has to be an answer to this question. And so I thought, and I asked a further question. Who is the person that received the Eucharist the best, that could teach us how to do it, that could show us what we're doing wrong? The answer, the Blessed Mother. Is there a place where she talks about this, where she talks about the Eucharist, where she could coach us herself? There is. The answer will blow your mind. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. So where did I go? I went to the Mystical City of God, unabridged, four-volume edition, approved since 1681 by Pope Innocent XI, an amazing book that walks through the life of Jesus and Mary. And after every chapter, commentary by the Blessed Mother herself, and you can tell that it's the Blessed Mother because the wisdom there is far beyond any saint, any other book that you're reading, any priest, any homily, far beyond anything that you typically hear. It is amazing. And in this very section, she addresses this problem of how we can improve our holiness, five things that we can do that she does to improve our reception of the Eucharist, and our three principal enemies against it. And this sentiment of the infinite power of the Eucharist and why aren't we getting more out of it has been held by many people. I'm not the first one. I want to tell you about this amazing young saint that received the Eucharist once, went into ecstasy, and then died because she recognized its power. I want to tell you about Blessed Imelda Lambertini. Her story is unbelievable. And if we had half her reverence, we would empty purgatory tomorrow. Listen to this. She lived in the 1300s, and at one point she would often tell people, "Tell me, can anyone receive Jesus into his heart and not die?" This would be prophetic for her life. She was 11 years old, kneeling in prayer at Mass on the Vigil of the Ascension, when the sacristan, helping the priest, noticed something striking. There appeared to be some sort of miraculous light above her head, with the sacred host suspended in the light. The sacristan ran to alert the priest, who then felt moved to offer Lambertina the Eucharist, even though she wasn't at the customary age yet at that time. Lambertini gratefully received and then went back to her seat to pray, where she stayed after Mass to spend extra time in prayer. Good thing for us to be doing. A long time passed and she was still praying, and one of the sisters was sent to get her for dinner. She found Lambertini kneeling with a smile on her face. When the sister tapped her to get her attention, Lambertini fell over. She was dead. She is a patroness of those that receive First Communion. This is how intensely the Eucharist should impact us. Now let's get right into the words of the Blessed Mother herself about how we should think of the Eucharist. Oh, my daughter. And this is the first one. Would that believers in the Holy Catholic Faith opened their hardened and stony hearts in order to attain to a true understanding of the sacred and mysterious blessing of the Holy Eucharist. So number one, we need to pray for this, for our hearts to be opened to have a true understanding, and never presume that your understanding is sufficient at any given point, that it could always grow. Number two, here it comes. If they would only detach themselves, root out and reject their earthly inclinations, and restraining their passions, apply themselves with living faith to study by the divine light their great happiness in thus possessing their eternal God in the Holy Sacrament. So we need to do all of those things. Essentially, look at earth as offering us nothing, and look at the Eucharist as offering us everything. And in being able by its reception and constant intercourse to participate in the full effects of this heavenly manna. Did you hear that? We need to want to participate in the full effects of the Eucharist. You are not participating in the full effects. You're participating partially. Want more, because the Eucharist has more to offer us. And then here comes number three. If they would only worthily esteem this precious gift, begin to taste its sweetness and share in the hidden power of their omnipotent God. We are never at any given point worthily esteeming enough the Eucharist. Our esteem of it always needs to grow. Then she continues, then nothing would ever be wanting to them in this exile. In this, the happy age of the law of grace, mortals have no reason to complain of their weakness and their passions. Did you hear that? Since in this bread of heaven, they have at hand strength and health. We have everything in the Eucharist. It matters not that they are tempted and persecuted by the demon, for by receiving the sacrament frequently, they are enabled to overcome him gloriously. At times, we think that God is cheap in giving us his grace, that he only gives us sufficient grace with the sense of, oh, barely enough to get by. Wrong. God is not cheap like you and like I. He is not cheap like us. He gives us grace to gloriously overcome Satan. The faithful are themselves to blame for all their poverty and labors, since they pay no attention to this divine mystery, nor avail themselves of the divine powers thus placed at their disposal by my most holy Son. I tell thee truly, my dearest, that Lucifer and his demons have such a fear of the most holy Eucharist that to approach it causes them more torments than to remain in hell itself. Think about that. It is more painful for the demons to get close to the Eucharist than to be sent into hell. Although they do enter churches in order to tempt souls, they enter them with aversion, forcing themselves to endure cruel pains in the hope of destroying a soul and drawing it into sin, especially in the holy places and in the presence of the Holy Eucharist. If we had half of the zeal of Satan, the same amount of zeal that he has for wanting to drag us into hell, if we had half that zeal for God, we would be saints. Do you hear how Satan, he endures cruel pains in order to tempt us? We should be willing to endure cruel pains in order to receive the Eucharist. Their wrath against the Lord and against the souls alone could induce them to expose themselves to the torment of his real sacramental presence. Whenever he is carried through the streets, they usually fly and disperse in all haste, and they would not dare approach those that accompany him if by their long experience they did not know that they will induce some to forget the reverence due to their Lord. Therefore, they make special efforts to tempt the faithful in the churches, for they know what great injury they can thereby do to the Lord himself, who in his sacramental love is there waiting to sanctify men and to receive the return of his sweetest and untiring love. Here comes number four. Hence, thou canst also understand the strength of those who prepare themselves to partake of this bread of the angels. How much do you prepare yourself? And how the demons fear the souls who receive the Lord worthily and devoutly, and who strive to preserve themselves in this purity until the next communion. Do you see, like, all these Eucharistic hacks here, preparing yourself, receiving worthily, and then keeping that same sentiment from one Eucharist to the next? But there are very few who live with this intention, and the enemy is ceaselessly alert and striving to throw them back into their three demons are going to be mentioned here that you need to remember and renounce at all times when you're going to receive communion. Their forgetfulness, distraction, and indifference. Those are our three principal enemies in coming more holy to the Eucharist. Forgetfulness, distraction, and indifference. Haven't we all been conquered by these? But now we know who they are, and we must renounce them vigorously so that he may not be obliged to encounter such powerful weapons in the hands of men. Write this admonition in thy heart. And since without thy merit the Almighty has ordained that thou receive Holy Communion daily, speaking to Venerable Mary of Agreda, seek by all possible means to preserve thyself in the good dispositions from one communion to the other. It is the will of the Lord and my own that with this sword, the Eucharist is a sword, thou fight the battles of the Almighty in the name of the Holy Church against the invisible enemies. For in our days there are heaping affliction and sorrow upon the mistress of nations, while there is none to console her or take it to heart. Do thou thyself weep for the same reason, and let thy heart be torn in sorrow. But while the omnipotent and just judge, who is so greatly incensed against the Catholics for having outraged his justice by their unmeasurable and continual transgressions, even under the aegis of this grand faith, none are found to consider and weigh the fearful damage, nor to approach the easy remedy of receiving the Holy Eucharist with a contrite and humble heart, nor does anyone ask for my intercession. That's an extra one that I'm throwing in there, always receiving the Eucharist with a humble and contrite heart, and asking the Blessed Mother to intercede for you while you're receiving the Eucharist. Later on, she's going to speak about how she humbles herself, and this is the last piece. Though all the children of the Church largely incur this fault, yet more to be blamed, and many of you are going to say, don't get me started, more to be blamed are the unworthy and wicked priests. For by the irreverence with which they treat the Blessed Sacrament, the other Catholics have been drawn to undervalue it. Many of you already know this. If the people see that their priests approach the divine mysteries with holy fear and trembling, they learn to treat and receive their God in like manner. Those that so honor him shall shine in heaven like the sun among the stars. For the glory of my divine Son's humanity will redound in a special measure in those who have behaved well toward him in the Blessed Sacrament, hear the reward, and have received him with all reverence. Whereas this will not happen to those who have not frequented this holy table with devotion. Moreover, the devout will bear on their breast, where they have so often harbored the Holy Eucharist, most beautiful and resplendent inscriptions, showing they were most worthy tabernacles of the Holy Sacrament. This will be a reward in heaven. For those of us that receive the Eucharist worthily, we will shine on our chest in a particular way in heaven. This will be a great accidental reward for them, and a source of jubilation and admiration for the holy angels and all the rest of the blessed. They will also enjoy the special favor of being able to penetrate deeper into the mystery of the presence of the Lord in the sacrament, and to understand all the rest of the wonders hidden therein. This will be such a privilege that it alone would suffice for their eternal happiness, even if there were no other enjoyment in heaven. Did you hear that? The reward that we will get for honoring Jesus worthily in the Blessed Sacrament in heaven, that reward alone, ignoring all other rewards, will be enough to just blow your mind, to make your heaven an incredible experience, far superior to the experience of other people. Let's continue. Moreover, the essential glory of those who have worthily and devoutly received the Holy Eucharist will in several respects exceed the glory of many martyrs who have not received the body and blood of the Lord. That's amazing. I wish thee also to hear, my dearest daughter, from my own mouth, what were my sentiments, listen, when in the mortal life I was about to receive Holy Communion. In order that thou mayest better understand what I say, reflect on all I have commanded to thee to write about my gifts, merits, and labors in life. Now, listen to this. I was preserved from original sin at the instant of my conception. I received the knowledge and vision of the divinity, as thou hast often recorded. I knew more than all the saints. I surpassed the highest seraphim in love. I never committed any fault. I constantly practiced all the virtues in heroic degree, and in the least of them, I was greater than all the saints in their highest perfection. The intention and object of my actions were most exalted, and my habits and gifts were noble without measure. I imitated my Holy Son most closely. I labored most faithfully. I suffered with eagerness and cooperated with the doings of the Lord exactly as was becoming to me. I ceased not to exercise my love and gain new and supereminent merits of grace. Yet, I thought myself to have been fully repaid by being allowed to receive him even once in the Holy Eucharist. Yea, I did not consider myself worthy of this one favor. We must never consider ourselves worthy of receiving the Eucharist. Now, listen to this. Reflect then what should be thy sentiments and those of the rest of the children of Adam on being admitted to the reception of this admirable sacrament. And if for the greatest of saints, one Holy Communion is a superabundant reward, what must the priest and the faithful think when they are allowed to receive it so frequently? Open thy eyes in the deep darkness and blindness which overwhelms men around thee, and raise them up to the divine brightness in order to understand these mysteries. Look upon all thy works as insufficient, all thy sufferings as most insignificant, and all thy thanksgiving as falling far short of what thou owest for such an exquisite blessing as that of possessing in the Holy Church Christ, my divine Son, present in the Holy Sacrament, in order to enrich all the faithful. Everything that you do to suffer for the Eucharist is nothing, nothing, not even close. It's nothing in comparison to what you receive with one reception of the Holy Eucharist. That's more than everything you can possibly do in your whole life. If thou hast not wherewith to show thy thanks for this and the other blessings which thou receivest, at least humiliate thyself to the dust and remain prostrate upon it. Confess thyself unworthy in all the sincerity of thy heart. Magnify the Most High, bless and praise Him, persevering thyself at all times worthy to receive Him and to suffer many martyrdoms in return for such a favor. We need to esteem the Eucharist more and esteem ourselves less, significantly less, and ask the Blessed Mother the grace to fight and conquer forgetfulness, distraction, and indifference. My friends, this is gold. This is gold. Do these things, and we will receive the Eucharist with such power that we will conquer all evils in our life. The infinite fire present in the Eucharist will consume the fire of purgatory. Perhaps with one Eucharist, we could release all the souls that are there, if only we could receive like the Blessed Mother. I will see you in the next one.